Hello, welcome to Lifehouse Church Podcast. It's so good you've joined us today. This message is delivered by Pastor Paul Hollingworth. Please sit back, enjoy, listen to what's said. For any more information about Lifehouse Church, please visit our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or head over to one of our social media pages. You'll find us at Lifehouse 12. Enjoy the message, and we'll see you soon.
It's so good to be in church, yeah? Anybody happy to be in church and at home and join church wherever you are around this country, join us this time, wherever you are around the world. I know there's a few people in different places that try to engage with church every week from different parts of the globe. And we are glad, aren't we, church? We're glad that you can still join us. We're thankful that restrictions are changing in Jesus' name this week. We believe in. We're not going to listen to the fear squad that are out there again at present trying to put us all off thinking that there's any future at present. Have you noticed straight away this morning that the fear squad were back out again because they know that there's a lockdown kind of coming to an end kind of tomorrow. Restrictions are going to be relinquished a little bit. And straight away, first thing that pops up on my phone this morning was the fear announcement that came to us all. And it strikes me all the time that as we take steps forward, fear is always going to be in front of us. But the reality is, as a church today, we do have something that we can emphasize and we can prioritize that literally combats any form that fear would take in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, sometimes over the last 12 months, my whys have sounded a little bit like this. Why is it so tough? I think I'm honest enough to say I may be a pastor, I may have got a title in life, but life actually is very tough at times. Life is very tough. Sometimes life does actually feel like a bit of a struggle at times. It feels like you really are treading through like thick, deep mud. And that is a reality that it does feel a struggle at times. Life at times seems hard and it does seem that there is almost like at times no way forward. They're all feelings and emotions. But as we said last week, we cannot choose to live by our feelings because our feelings can be fatal. But we choose to live by faith. As we heard last week, David, a man of God who inquired of the Lord and the Lord answered him. I don't know about you, but that is a call of my heart that I want God to answer me, to speak to me. But sometimes the reality is it is tough. And God's calling for us is simply to stay obedient to his word. You know, I've had the privilege, maybe, I call it a privilege, some of you probably wouldn't, but over the last 4 or 5 years, I've driven an automatic car. One of the things about driving an automatic car, well, two things. One is when you get an automatic car, people will tell you that's what old people do. I embraced that. I thought, well, if that's what old people, if it's good enough for the older people, it's good enough for me. And we embraced it and we drove this automatic. It's brilliant. It's like driving a Dodgem car. I don't know if you go to the fair ride. Anybody enjoy going to the Dodgems when you go to the fair? And you get on the, and it's just brilliant. You just put your foot, it's flat on the floor, and that's it. That's all it's about. And it feels a little bit like that times, but it has also got the presets. It doesn't let you rev over a certain amount, and it's in control. The beauty of it is this, that you can switch from automatic to manual. Now, if you're a manual driver, I've seen some of you drive over the last few years, and I've seen you literally fly past me on the road and pip me on the way as well, and I think, wow, look at them, they're having a great time. The thing about being in manual is it's a little bit more exciting. And as I always do, as I just wait before God, as I prepare what I believe that I need to bring to the church for this season, in the midst of all the whys that we have to decide, I do believe, whether we're going to stick with the presets of God's word or whether we're going to choose to go manual and do our own thing. As I said last week, very often we can inform God of a request that we want God to bless, but is outside of what his word contains. I'm not, you can come to me with your story, but if it's outside of God's word, I think it's very difficult to go before God and ask God to bless something that is not within his word. And I think when we go into manual, what we are really doing is we're choosing to say that we know a way forward, and we're choosing that way forward, and we're saying, God, I know it says this in your word, but this is what I feel I need to do. And in that moment, we're saying, God, would you bless me while I'm in manual? The reality is that God has put some preset designs within each and every one of us as men and women of God, as Christians. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God is at work within us. It's not something we can ignore. It's not something we can just get rid of. It's at work within us on a constant basis. But we do have the option to switch to manual. And I think it's a huge danger for us that we face is that we're in moments where the reality is automatic driving is a little bit boring. You rev so much, but it'll cut the revs and it'll switch gears. And rather than racing through the gears and really thrashing the thing, it does it for you. And it can appear a little bit boring. It can feel like tedious. But how many of us know that God's word promises that those who persevere, it's those that persevere with God's truth, God's word, God's application in our lives, it's those that do that will reap the blessing that comes from heaven. I really believe one of the key reasons why we experience so many feelings of, emphasis on feelings of, one of the reasons we experience these feelings of struggle, etc., is due to the fact of the constant switching of going between automatic and manual. Now, if it's good enough for me to hear it, and God has given me this opportunity to be able to share with you online, at home, in the building, if it's good enough for me, then I really believe it's good enough for each and every one of us. The temptation to go from God's word to choose to actually make some choices and some decisions and make some bits up that we think fit our lives at this time. You know, as I spoke to this young lady, as I'll say, just before the service began, and you know I'm speaking to you right now, it's so easy in a time of difficulty to actually start to make things up ourselves and try and decide that we will sort this thing. And I do believe for you, and I believe for us as a church, that we do have to trust the settings that God has given us. Maybe you're in a season at home that you feel like scrapping, as it were, and pushing to one side the truth and doing it a different way. I really believe there's an encouragement from the church today. As we applaud heaven right now, we're encouraging each and every one of us to stick to the truth of the precepts of God's word and know that God will finish what he started. He is faithful. He is faithful. You know, a double life is hard to live up to. I asked in the first service today, you know, has anybody experienced living a double life? And of which I expected nobody to respond and say, well, I've done that. But actually the reality is we all lead a double life at times. We all put on a front at times. I'm not just on about a social media front. I mean, literally in real life, at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, there's all something breaking out in our house at home. There's something breaking out. I don't know what it is, but there's alarm clocks been going off. There's people that should have been up and people that are not up and people that need to get ready and people that are getting ready and people that should be at meetings. And there's all sorts happening in the morning. And there's this atmosphere, I'll say it with a smile on my face, but there's this really, really interesting atmosphere in our home some mornings of the week. Any parents out there, you know what I'm talking about. You say it with a smile on your face, it looks different. But the reality is something is breaking loose in our home at that time. But yet, I walk into church and by 9:30 in the morning, I stand on stage and we can say, good morning, everybody, and welcome to church. Today is the day that the Lord has made and we're going to rejoice in him. And the reality is, it's a little bit of a double life. I'm just trying to help you out, because when I say, are you leading a double life, for people that really are today trapped in leading a double life, it's very, very dangerous, because you feel like you are the only person that's doing that. But I'm just taking the release valve off for you to make it a little bit easier to say that all of us get caught up in that from time to time, where we put something on to try and appear like something else. But actually, the reality is, as Galatians tells us, Galatians 5, 16, 17, if you're a Bible scholar and you like to underline things in your Bible, key verses for us to understand. You'll know it off by heart for some of you. Some of you have never heard it before, but this is the truth. This is the instruction from the apostle that says to us in verse 16, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not. So walk by the Spirit and you will not. you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. In other words, they're against each other. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. It's the battle between the flesh and the spirit. They do not get on. They are like two arguing siblings. Not that I've ever seen two arguing siblings ever in my home, where I have a son who's 15 and a daughter who's 17. I've never seen two argue. We never argue. There's never that happening. But you know what I'm saying? The flesh and the spirit at times, both in operation in our lives, both in operation in our lives, both of them are trying to fight for center stage to say, listen to me. Why is the struggle? Why do I feel like I'm struggling? I'll tell you why you feel like you're struggling. Because the flesh is battling for your attention. Because it knows that in the midst of the struggle, if the flesh can get your attention, then your response is going to be totally different to the presets of the automatic things that God has put in place for us, for those that will stay true to his word. The flesh is fighting for us, church. The flesh fights for us. And I'll show you in a second exactly how it works in our lives and a real life example. So many of us wish to be free, but you remain trapped. The struggle, the battle is part of life. The difficulties, the challenges will always come to us. The difference is the challenges that come to us when the flesh versus the spirit is that they'll either stifle us or through God's spirit they'll strengthen us. The challenges that you face right now might feel stifling, but I'm here to remind us today that we serve a God that has put a spirit within us that says this might feel like it's going to stifle you, but this is going to shape and it's going to mold you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to build you up. Ephesians 3:20 tells us this, that we can believe to see the immeasurably more of God. He has planned immeasurably more than we could have ever asked, dreamed or imagined, according to his spirit that is at work within us. And there's the battle right there. There's the battle. I don't know about you, but I'm agreeing with scripture that tells me in 2 Corinthians 5, it tells me that I am a new creation. The old is gone. And the new is here. I've switched from manual settings and I'm automatic. I'm automatic. I'm not just going through the motions of automatic, but I'm automatic in the sense that now I have something that says to me that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There was one man. A couple of verses of scripture, in fact, I was going to skip it. Galatians 6, verse 7, 8, and 9 tells us this. Do not be deceived. Now, let's be aware that in this generation that we live in, the devil, one of his key works is deceit. And it tells us in verse 7, to not be deceived because God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So often we say, why is this happening to me? Why has that happened to me? And at times, I think we have to go back to scripture and say, ultimately, we're going to reap in life at times what we have sown in our life. You know, reap, sow selfish desire. You're going to reap a very small world. Sow a generous spirit. You're going to reach and see an expansive world. We have to be careful that we're keen to sow in the right areas. We have to be careful that we, as verse 8 tells us, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. I don't know about you, but I want to sow into the spirit today. I want to feed the spirit man with inside me today, because ultimately I know the rewards of the spirit man are far greater than what the fleshly desires hold for me. And then it says this in verse 9, it says, let us not, church, become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, God is a God of timing. God is a God. I told God a good number of weeks ago, I said, by May the 16th, like, we really need to have got a few things in motion here in the church. And God, you need to sort this. And I want you to, let's fill both services by the 16th of May. And at the proper time, at the proper time, God's word says at the proper time, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. 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 Last week, I spoke about the man of God called David. David, in 2 Samuel 5:23, and a few times around that chapter, you'll see that David, part of David's rhythm was that he inquired of God. He didn't inform God what to do. He literally was in battle, but he would say to God, God, what is it you would have me to do in this moment? And rather than telling God what to do, he waited on God and God gave him clear instruction. David, though, just like me and you, is only a man. Man is flawed. And for each and every one of us, I really believe as we read scripture, we have to check our own personal settings to ensure that maybe we feel like we're in automatic, but actually we've flicked to manual. Because as you read through David's life, David was a man that understood what it was to serve the Spirit of God inside him, but also at times to switch to manual. And he served the flesh within him. We're an honest church. Wherever you are today, we know that the battle is real. The battle is real. It is a battle and it is a struggle. And why does it feel like a struggle? It's because the battle enrages within each and every one of us. You see, but you can read a snapshot and think, wow, man of God, David, look at the way he lived his life. 2 Samuel 5. But by 2 Samuel 11, there's this account in the Word of God. 2 Samuel 11, if you've got your Bible, just flick with me quick to 2 Samuel chapter 11. It'll appear on the screen as well because we're good and we look after you. So we want you to have the Word of God in your life. This is what it says. David, who was the leader of the battle, he was the leader of the army. He said this, in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. He sent his whole army out and remained back at the home. He's the leader of the battle. He's the one that should be on the front line. He's the one that should be putting the orders out there. But he sent somebody else instead. He says that they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed. He walked around the roof of the palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to find out about her, and the man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to her. She came to him and he slept with her. Then she went back home. Automatic, 2 Samuel 5, 2 Samuel 11, manual. We're all human beings. We all have feelings. We all have emotions. We all go through challenging seasons. My encouragement to you today as a church is, as the Apostle Paul said, is choose to walk in step with the Spirit and to obey the Spirit's desire with inside and to resist at the right times, to keep resisting the fleshly desires that are only there to pull us off track and seek to destroy. And as you put scriptures together, John 10 verse 10, Jesus came to give life and life in all its fullness, but the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Why does it feel like a struggle? Why did it feel like a struggle for David? You know, in verse 1, it says that David remained back home when he should have been at battle. He allowed himself to remain alone. Loneliness is a very, very difficult place. I don't believe you have to live on your own to feel lonely. I feel loneliness, as we chatted about, myself and Sarah the other day, loneliness can happen to you as a couple. It can happen to you as in a big party, in a big group. Loneliness is an emotion and a feeling that we go through that causes us to start to express, I do believe, and manifest certain behaviors. He allowed himself to remain at home rather than remove himself. Maybe today you're in a situation where you know you need to remove yourself, because remaining in the situation is actually only going to allow opportunities for the enemy to experiment with your life. Maybe thoughts. Thoughts that you actually need to leave. I remember being in church a long time ago, and somebody engaged me in conversation. And to this day, I can only say that, you know, thanks be to the grace of God that I held my cool in the moment. But somebody confronted me and basically said words to the effect of, I don't really think that you believe the Bible that you're talking about. It attacked my integrity. It attacked my integrity. And you know what happened in the moment? The automatic setting that God has given me, the grace, and he's given me the strength to be the leader. At that moment, the automatic setting, there was just such a temptation to flick it to manual. Because in that moment, I'm telling you now, as a growing, strong young man, there's only one thing that I wanted to do in that moment. And that was to manifest my fleshly desires for this individual's life. I'm just being honest. Anybody ever had those moments before, yeah? I know your moment's a little bit less like, they're probably a little bit less. It's probably more just road rage when you're driving down the street and somebody pulls out in front of you and you want to manifest your, I can see a few wives looking at a few husbands quite interestingly in the room right now. But anyway, at home, you guys are all perfect. But in those moments, you know, you sense that there's this battle. This battle goes on, and I really believe that we have to be careful that we don't remain with some thoughts. I had to remove that thought from my life. I had to remove it, because otherwise all it was going to do was cause me to retract and no longer to stand before people and speak God's word and God's truth. David remained in that place that ultimately left him exposed to the enemy's experiments. It's more than just like some sin in the Bible. It's more than just a sin that he committed. I really believe it's a scene of what switching looks like. Switching from automatic to manual. I believe it's a scene for each and every one of us that we can pick up on. The second thing that David did was, not only did he remain, and don't worry, it's not all going to remain like tough stuff, but in verse 2 it says that then David, he roamed around his balcony. It was late at night, he couldn't sleep, and he roamed around. And you know, just maybe the reason he was roaming around at that time was because he knew full well he wasn't where God wanted him to be. He should have been on the battlefront. But he'd remained, and as he roamed around, all of a sudden the enemy begins to experiment with his emotions and his feelings. And that is the moment that he sees this beautiful young woman. I just wonder today, maybe in this room, if there's people in here today, you know full well that you're wandering around almost aimlessly because you've neglected the call of God upon your life. Call of God to serve him, the call of God to be faithful in your marriage, the call of God to be upright in your business. And you find yourself wandering around roaming. But as Galatians 5:16 says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. To gratify, meaning to give satisfaction to the desire of the flesh. And ultimately in verse 3 and 4, we read it. It's a well-known story, but there it was, the switch. David responded. He remained with his thoughts. He roamed around and he responded. It's the flesh and the spirit coming together. I don't really believe that Bathsheba just happened to David by chance. I believe it was something that he sowed, as Galatians said in Galatians 6. It was a seed that he sowed earlier on in his life, where God had asked man and woman to leave father and mother and to join and to be one in joining marriage. There's a scene in 2 Samuel 5 that David actually had a brilliant excursion. They had a huge battle and he took loads of wives, lots of wives for himself. At that moment, I really believe that he sowed a seed in his life. See, whoever sows to the flesh will reap its fruits. Why is it tough? Why is it tough? Why do I struggle? Why do I have these feelings? ultimately because we can choose to be led by our feelings, our desires and our thoughts, and ignore the niggle of the Spirit of God. And as a church, as we're venturing forward, I want to say this complacency will only lead us to compromise. Next Sunday in church, you thought last week was great because we had an ice cream van. Next week in church, we're going to have a party. We're having a party in church next week because, you know, at Christmas time, we do everything for Christmas. We pull out all the stops. Easter time, we just have a celebration time. If you've ever been to church at Easter, you'd be like, it's always humming at Easter time. But next week is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday in the life of the church, I think, is the most pivotal, extraordinary event that equips us for today. That so often we can just drift past and we can almost think, well, it was just back in the day. But Pentecost Sunday represents the beginning of the church. It represents the truth that Jesus Christ said that one greater would remain with us on earth to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to provoke us, to strengthen us, to give us courage. It's the day that we celebrate the Holy Spirit being given to us as a church. And I don't know about you, and I'm hoping I'm in the right church, but I think we should have a time of Holy Ghost worship and praise next week in church and celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit. See, the struggle always comes when we're led by the flesh, but the strength comes when we're led by the Spirit. The issue is this, as I spoke to a pastor just a few weeks ago, we had a kind of a spontaneous FaceTime call and we were chatting, and the issue is that as a church, we have a responsibility to talk about what really makes the difference. I've highlighted to you there about David's life, and maybe where it seems like, wow, you just told us for a few minutes how David kind of slipped up. And well, last week I told you about how David excelled. I'm just trying to point out how easy it is as a human. Jesus, when he was on earth, he experienced everything that you did. He experienced everything that you currently experience. He experienced everything that David did. That wasn't just David's story. He tells us in scripture that Jesus, as he hung on the cross, he took on every bit of pain, every bit of suffering, every bit of torment, every bit of temptation. He took it all on. But not only that, Jesus came to earth in the flesh to be the example to us, to say, listen, church, we can walk and we can navigate life. And I'll tell you how we'll walk and navigate life. We're going to walk by the Spirit. We're going to not gratify the desires of the flesh, but we're going to walk by the Spirit. And I'll show you and I'll lead you and I'll guide you. And I know you're up against it at present. And I know it's a struggle at times. And I know it's hard to see a way forward. But in Matthew 4 verse 1, you'll read for yourself. Read it later. The account that Jesus was led by the Spirit, Matthew 4, into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit. Spirit led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know, if you're facing temptation at present and testing, it is not from God. God will not tempt you or test you. But what he will do is he'll walk through the temptation and the testing with you through the Spirit of God. He says after 40 days and nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and put him in a corner and started to throw every accusation to him and every question and every doubt and every fear. But Isaiah 41 verse 10 tells us this, that we can all grab a hold of today, and you can go home tonight and watch Sky News and you can watch everything else and be bombarded with every bit of media and press, but you can read this for yourself. It says, Isaiah 41 verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you and I will strengthen and help you. If only we can remain with the settings that God has put within us. resist the temptation to go manual and decide to start calling the shots and trust him. He who is faithful said, we don't have to fear, but he will strengthen and he will help us. Why don't you just stand to your feet with me wherever you are right now. If you can, if you have the energy and the strength, maybe even at home, you can think, well, I maybe look a little bit crazy, but I'm going to stand up in front of the TV right now at this moment. See, Jesus, he faced the three tests. He faced the test of provision. Ultimately, he declared that God was his provider. He faced the test of faith, of who he was going to trust. Throw yourself off here and prove that you got... He trusted God. And ultimately, he faced the test of his worship. And I wanted to encourage you today. I want to leave us with a point of encouragement. We're going to create a moment for you as an individual, wherever you are, as an individual, not as a family, but for you as an individual, wherever you are, to just encounter with the living God in these next few minutes. We're going to sing lines, explicit lyrics that say things like this, my faith beyond what it looks like. Not about our feelings. But when we acknowledge that the battle between the spirit and the flesh, these are three things that I really believe for some people in this place today. Three outcomes are being led by the Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of the living God today is going to enable you to see things differently. The Spirit of God is going to enable you today to see things differently. No matter what you do see physically around you, the Spirit of God is going to, by His grace, enable you to see differently as you leave this building today. As you go to bed tonight, you're going to see things differently. You're going to dream things differently. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning with a different spirit that sees something fresh and brand new. The Spirit of God, not only as we choose to remain in automatic, will enable you to speak over your feelings with faith. How many of you need to start speaking faith over feelings, yeah? We need to speak faith over feelings, and that's where the Spirit of God is. He comes to us today. And ultimately, the Spirit of God will always lead you to a place of worship. The best thing we can do to end our service today is to worship Him. The best decision we can make today is to lift our hands to Him in worship and surrender every temptation, every testing, every challenge, every battle. We're going to sing these few words right now, these words that basically describe our response to the living God today. We say, Jesus, we want to walk with you. Jesus, we want to talk with you. Jesus, we want to hear your voice. But I pray right now in this moment, Spirit of God, upon every life as we lift our hands to heaven right now. I pray, Spirit of God, in this room that you would begin to lift people's faith. I pray, Lord God, you would begin to open our eyes to what you're doing, Lord God. I pray you begin to stir up boldness and courage within our lives, Lord God, to take a step forward. I pray, Lord God, that you would cause us to begin to speak faith over our feelings at this time, over sickness that's in our lives. I pray, Lord God, that you would cause us to understand that your Spirit is with us and we fear no evil because you will strengthen and you will help us. So, Lord God, right now in this minute, in this moment, in this time that we've got together, I pray, Spirit of God, unleash your power, unleash a demonstration of who you are in our lives, Lord Jesus, that basically leaves us in a point where we say all praise and all glory to you in Jesus' name.
Brilliant. Thank you for engaging with us today. What an incredible message that was. Just remember, if you want to know anything else about who we are, where we are, what we do, head over to that website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or on our social media platforms at Lifehouse12. Thanks, be blessed, and we'll see you again soon.